In April, we were in Tennessee for a wedding, and man, that thing was hot, but really, really good. So, anyway, I need to commend him for the song choices for this week, and especially that last one. And it ties in perfectly well with the message today. And I know many of you've been in that series that we break the cycle. And today we're gonna wrap things up. And this is the last part of this series. And if you're joining us for the very first time, and I highly recommend that you go online and watch the whole entire series. A lot of it is on audio, and my notes and everything else is shared on it there. So it brings it all together because we all go through these cycles in life, and a lot of us, we are not equipped, or we don't have the knowledge or even the capacity sometimes to be able to come to the place where we can break that old cycle. For God to do anything new in our lives, then we have to let go of the old, and we have to make room for the new things that God wants to do. So a lot of us, we struggle with that. It's like a little struggle that we have to juggle a little bit. We still straddle the past while we're trying to embrace the new. And breaking cycles is breaking the cycles that are toxic. How many of us, we know that there are some toxic cycles in life, and sometimes it's relationship, sometimes it's just stuff that we experience in life, and we have to just put an end to it and say, you know what? No more. I'm a new creation in Christ, and God is doing something new in me. Isn't that the purpose of us receiving Christ, is to be able to embrace this new thing that we can do in Him and through Him? So Breaking the Cycle is a series that is talking about this, and we've used from the book of Judges the story of Gideon and the Israelite during this time period where they struggle with a cycle of having the enemy come in year after year and bring in destruction. And that's what the cycle of the enemy, and we all experience it in one way or another. And this is what the enemy does best, is to steal. And what? Kill. And then what? Destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. And you don't need to answer this out loud, but have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've opened up a door for the enemy? And you are in this cycle where the enemy is coming in, stealing, killing, and destroying. I mean, a lot of times it's not like killing you life or per se. It's kind of like killing your joy, stealing what the resources that you have through many things that are going wrong in your life. It's a cycle. But here we have the Word of God, and from the words of Jesus Himself, it's good news. It's good news. Because Jesus says in John 10:10, recognizing what the enemy can do. See, this is the thing. Sometimes we don't call it the way it is. That the attacks, it's coming from the enemy. This is what he does in our lives, is he's coming in to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's good to be able to acknowledge that. To be able to know that there is someone who needs to pay, and that's the enemy. So Christ came so that he can make the enemy pay. And he paid the price. But he's still around. He's still around roaming the earth, seeking whom he may devour. So that cycle of stealing, killing, and destroying is still prevalent here. He's still here. We're still seeing the consequences of the destruction, what the enemy has done. But his final fate has already been sealed. With Christ risen from the dead, we have the victory. And here in John 10:10, it's like Jesus is reminding us of this fact, that the enemy does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. But here's the good news. Christ says, I have come that they, and they, that's you and me, that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Now, this is a freedom. This is our breakthrough from the cycle. Jesus did not come not just to break the cycle of the stealing, killing, and destroying, but he's also come so that you and I, we can have abundant life. Life to the fullest. Life without holding back. And this is really what God expects out of each and every one of us. To never hold back. To live in the present. Live in the now. Don't wait, like Don was saying. Don't wait until you're right to start. Start now. Start with what you have. And break that cycle by receiving Christ, number one. It starts with him. But then keep pushing forward as you enjoy day after day this new life that you find in him. This new way of living. Living for not just yourself, but living for him. Embracing what God is bringing into your life. And through all of that, guess what you discover? You discover your true identity in Christ. See, this is the thing. When the enemy is coming in with this cycle of stealing, killing, and destroying, it robs you of who you are. And before you know it, you're walking in life and you forgot your true identity in Christ. You forgot that you're an overcomer because you've been in this cycle of experiencing every attack from the enemy that you've forgotten that you are an overcomer. Like we talked about last week, about knowing who you are in Christ in 1 John 4:4, it talks about we are his children and we overcame because he's in us. I'm paraphrasing here. You see, because Christ lives inside of us, that makes us this overcomer of this cycle. This makes us this cycle breaker where we can say no to the cycle of the enemy. If there's a cycle of sickness and disease in your family, for example, like in my family, there's a cycle of high blood pressure, heart issues. So I said, I have to say that to myself. That stops with that old generation. I'm a new generation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm not going to pass that on to my children. It's more like a stand against what the enemy has done in my family's life, in that generation that he's passed. So in this story, in the book of Judges, we are seeing this cycle of the enemy coming in year after year. And they've experienced this cycle for 7 years. The Midianites were coming in, attacking the children of Israel for 7 years, coming in and pillaging their homes, stealing everything and killing people, killing livestock, making them poor. Isn't that what the enemy does these days when he comes in? When he comes and he robs everything that you have. It gets you to a place where you feel deprived. Deprive of your identity, rob of your identity, and deprive of all the good things that God has put in store for you. So here in this story here, we find our guy, Gideon. Gideon is hiding. Gideon is hiding in a hole. He's hiding in a place where he doesn't really belong. He's hiding in a wine press. And he's threshing wheat in a wine press. Wheat and wine, separate things. They don't even go well together. But yet again, he's finding himself in the wrong place. Doing the wrong things probably. Hiding. Hiding from himself. Hiding from his identity. He's in fear. But yet again, God found him in this hole. And call him by his true name. God revealed in that spot where he's hiding in fear of what could happen to him, his family, his generation, God is calling him by his true name. What's his true name is what? Gideon, right? God called him Gideon, mighty man of valor. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's hiding in a hole from the enemy, not fighting. He hasn't even seen a battlefield in his life. And yet again, God calls him Gideon, mighty man of valor, mighty man of God. Do you think he felt like a mighty man of God hiding in the hole like this? No, probably not. Probably you don't feel like you're an overcomer. Man, I'm going through so much in my life, I don't feel like an overcomer. But this is what God calls you. The Word of God calls you by your true name, your true identity. He called you chosen, a royal priest, according to Peter. Right? Isn't that crazy? You don't see yourself. Maybe I don't even see myself as a royal priesthood. I don't feel very royal. I don't look very royal. But guess what? This is exactly what God calls me. It's an identity that I have, that I carry, that you carry yourself. But the enemy has this ability to come to rob you of that identity, calling you by a different name, a name that doesn't even belong to you, but he's made you over the years believe that name. But God finds this guy by the name of Gideon and calls him by his true name. The word Gideon means destroyer, cycle breaker. That's what his true name means. But hiding in a hole, he forgot about all of this. So God calls him by this true name and gives him the marching orders for a battle that he's probably not even prepared for. God called him, and in verse 14 said, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go with the strength you have.'" See, we need to be reminded that as well. We can't just sit and wait. We must go with the strength that we already have. You already have it. If you have Christ in you, you got all the strength that you need. You don't need to wait until you're ready. You're ready now. So God says, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianite. Who's sending him? He is. I am sending you. So when you go about your day-to-day life, this is what you need to remind yourself. Go with the strength God has already given you. Go do about your business. Go to your job knowing that Christ is with you. See, it changes the way you see yourself in the workplace. When you know that I'm stepping into this job with the strength of God. I am going in with the knowledge of Christ, with the wisdom of Christ. I am not going in my own strength. I'm carrying him on the inside. And believe me, this is visible on the outside. Because the way that you're representing him would actually be displayed for the whole world to see. People would actually see there's something different about him, something unique about her. I want you to realize this, that your true identity is not a hidden identity. You can't hide it. You can't hide from being a Christian. You can't hide from being a believer. Everybody knows you are. You don't even have to say it. I'm a Christian. Or you wear the sign. You wear the shirt. You wear the cross. All of these I'm not against any of these things. But the way you carry yourself weighs more than the name that you carry on your shirt or the cross that you wear around your neck. The way that you handle a situation, the way that you deal with people can say a whole lot about who you're representing, your true identity in Christ. So be nice. Be good. Let God shine through you, through your deeds, through your action, through the words that comes out of your mouth, through the way that you emotionally carry yourself. That says a whole lot about your true identity in Christ. Know that when you're stepping out, that He's the one who's sending you. I've been sent today by God. This morning I woke up and, you know, I'm always prepared for the message, and I'm preparing it throughout the week. It's like a deposit of a knowledge or deposit of something that God has put in me. But this morning I woke up, it was totally different. It was like a fresh download was coming in. I'm like, I thought I was ready, Lord. I thought it was done. But, I mean, do I need to scratch the whole thing and start again? You know, it's like but this is you when you're on task with God. You got to be quick to respond. If God is changing course, you change course. If God is saying you go left, you go left. It's not like this pre-thing that you have, it's already cooked, and you come and you should come here or at work or anywhere else and you just unveil it. God is the one who calls the shots. God is the one who's sending you. You're just on assignment from Him. And here we find Gideon is getting ready to go to this battlefield, and he's receiving these marching orders from God, and he knows that he's stepping into this battle not in his own strength, but in the strength that God has given to him. So he's going in. But the true feeling, the true emotional state of this man, he knows what God has said, but he's still fearful. How many of you have been in this situation? I know who I am in Christ, but there's still an element of fear in you. There's still a little apprehension that, oh man, maybe I'm not qualified. Maybe I'm not good enough for this. Maybe I'm not cut out for this job. Or maybe, you know, maybe I can't be myself. See, Gideon is dealing with all of that. He's fearful. And his army, do you know how many was in his army? 32,000. I mean, when you think about it in perspective, that's a lot of people. 32,000. That's a lot of people. But do you know how many were in the enemy's, you know, how many soldiers the enemy had? 144,000. So he's outnumbered right there 4-1. That's not a good thing, right? He's stepping out with the marching orders, getting ready to go on the battlefield, and he's outnumbered man to man 4-1. I'll be fearful. I'll be like, you know, I don't know how we're going to do this. I mean, we're probably going to get crushed again. It's been 7 years. This cycle of defeat has been there forever. It's going to be just one more. Just one more defeat. How many of you have taken punches in life and you're like, you know what? I think I can take one more. I think I'll go and take one more punch. But God is saying you don't have to. I'm sending you and you will overcome. You would break that cycle. The enemy's days are being numbered. And today is the day that you will get your breakthrough. All you have to do is just to step into this battle, trusting me because I'm sending you. That's a message for many of you this morning. That's a message for me. Knowing and recognizing that I'm being sent by God to do what He's called me to do here on this island. Whether I feel like it sometimes or not. Sometimes when it's raining like this, I'm like, you know what? I probably should just stay home. It's probably not good enough for me to do. I'm not qualified to do this. I've always been fearful about public speaking. I've always been fearful about standing in front of people and talking. But I am not doing it in my own strength. He's the one who sent me. So all I have to do sometimes is just to show up by faith. Coming to church sometimes is by faith. Don't feel like it sometimes like many of you do. You're human. I'm human too. Sometimes, you know what, can I just sleep in today? I mean, you know, that pillow and that comforter, they feel so great, so amazing. The weather is beautiful. I mean, I can come up with many things. But it's that sense of responsibility. It's that state that I'm in as a soldier. That I'm in God's army and he's sending me and he's telling me to go and do what he's called me to do. So with that sense of calling, I just go. I just go whether the odds are against me, like Gideon, 4-1, outnumbered. He's about to get whooped. But he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go. Because if I stay in the hole, I'm going to get whooped no matter what. So might as well just go and do what God has called me to do. But like many of you, you face battles, right? But you would know that God has got his own way of handling a battle. He's got his own rules of engagement. You think that if there is a situation, you must go and confront. God is saying, nope, you don't need to say anything. How many of you have been in this kind of situation where you felt like, you know what, I must go and do something about this. And God's saying, nope. Keep your mouth shut. You don't need to say anything. God has got his own way, his own rules of engagement when it comes to breaking a cycle. You think that sometime you must go to step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4, and then by the time you reach step 7, maybe you'll see that breakthrough. God is saying, you know, I'm going to meet you right where you are. Maybe you don't need the step 7. I'm going to meet you right there, step 1. All you need to do is to trust me. So our focus today is basically going to be about this. The rules of engagement when it comes to breaking the cycles of that toxic cycle in our life. What should we do? I mean, it's good that we talk about the stories, but we're dealing with real people. Gideon was a real dude, just like you and me. He's dealing with fears, dealing with his insecurities in his life like you and I we deal with. But he's coming to the place where he's discovering his new identity in Christ. He's finally, after many years, I don't know how old this guy is right now. Maybe somebody can do some research later on and find out how old is Gideon by the time when he's been called. He's been called at a later stage in his life. He's not a teenager, right? He's been called, he's probably in his 30s, 40s. Maybe he's like close to like 70 years old. Who knows? I mean, God is calling him. And God is saying, I've got a new way of you to handle business. And it's going to start today. It's going to start right here. It's going to start right now. And it's going to start with you. Not with the generation that you are in, but it's going to start with you. You're going to break the cycle and change your generation. See, I see us here. A generation that's going to come after us that we don't want them to experience the same thing that we've experienced. If you are a parent here, you probably would agree with me. He said, I've gone through some stuff, but I don't want my children to go through it. I don't want them to go through what I've gone through. I want them to be able to overcome the cycle. I want them to be able to recognize who they are in Christ. Me, I found Christ when I was in my 20s. I don't want them to find Christ when they are in their 20s. I want them to find Christ now. I want them to experience the living God through his presence, through his power, through his glory, so that they can experience that breakthrough that we sing about. See, we can't just sing a song without experiencing the power and the presence of God. It's not just a song that we have with lyrics running down in the background. It's the words of life that are meant to challenge us to grow from where we are, to grow closer to God. And throughout this process, we experiencing breakthrough after breakthrough. We experiencing his presence. We experiencing his glory. So the number one is, let God set the stage. Let God set the stage. We don't have to set the stage for anything. Let God do it. Let God do it in his own time. Let God set the stage. If Lindsay was here, David, if Lindsay was here, I would say, let God cook. Lindsay doesn't like that term. But I tease her a lot. I'll tell her, let her cook. Let God cook. Let God be in charge. Let him set the stage. Let him set the stage. You don't have to manipulate situations. To shift the thing to your advantage. Just let God be in charge. Let the situation be the way it is. Let God take care of it. Let go and let God, basically, right? Let go and let God. Don't try to control circumstances around the battle. See, Gideon had no idea what he was stepping into. He knows that he's outnumbered, but he has no idea to bring about the victory. He's like, Lord, you're sending me and I'm going. I mean, this is what we need to do. In real life, this is what it means. Say, for example, you are having with your spouse, say, what do we call this again? Not a discussion. A passionate discussion. How many of you have done that before? A passionate discussion where there's a lot of emotion that you brought in into this discussion. But throughout this discussion, you know that you are right. I've been there before. We're having a passionate discussion, and I know that I'm right. How many of you would agree that it is probably a wrong thing to do to lead the conversation with a mindset of, I'm right? Or let me prove you that I'm right. I mean, you know, if you lead with that in that way, and you are in a relationship, how many of you would agree that this will not go very well? It usually doesn't. I've tried it before, it doesn't. Many times I've tried it, I fail. Even though I know that I'm right. Don't be a right fighter. See, when you let God set the stage for anything in life, you got to let him lead. You got to lead yourself in humility. Being open for being wrong, even though you know you're right. You know what I mean? You have to have that sense of humility. And I'm not talking about being fearful here, okay? I'm not talking about, okay, I'm just scared. Oh no, what's going to happen? No, I'm not talking about fear. Being humble is a bold place. Being humble doesn't mean weak. Being humble means, you know what, I'm going to let God do it. Being humble means, I know, I don't know all of it. I'm just a man in a relationship, a spouse like me. I need to realize this. I'm just a man. I don't know it all. And I make mistakes. I am not perfect. See, this is something, this would free a lot of people here today. When we realize that we are not perfect. And when you lead with that sense of humility, breakthrough comes. Unity comes. Peace comes. You'll be surprised how much peace comes in the home when you lead with humility. And that same principle can be applied anywhere, can be applied in the workplace. Can it be applied in any kind of relationship? Because when you lead with humility, you can shine for Jesus. You can let Jesus himself shine through you. Let go and let God can be the most teachable moment that you can experience. Be teachable. Be teachable in those moments, even though that you know better or you think you know better. Be teachable still. Let God teach you. Let the circumstances that you're in provide the teaching tools that you need for your life. Let God do it. See, in 7 verse 1, God is giving us this account of where Gideon is at. And I want you to pay attention to the names. I've got it in bold right there. They mean something. They might not mean a whole lot to us right now as we're seeing it. You know, probably you've read this story many, many, many times. But I want you to catch the names because the names, they mean something. So Jerubbaal means Gideon. That's his new name now because during this time when he got his new identity, before he even got to the battlefield, Gideon did something that was crazy. See, when you know that you're moving with the strength of God, you do things that are bold. So he went and destroyed everything, all the temples of Baal. He destroyed all of them. He said, you know what, guys, we've messed up. And the reason why we are here today is because we've messed up. The Bible doesn't give us the account, the backstory of what happened behind the scenes. But you can use your imagination. For him to actually go and break the temple of the enemy is because he's probably had a conversation with a group of people. Say, you know what? We are in this mess today because of us. We invited the enemy in. And guess what? Today is the day that we're going to break everything. So God here called him by a different name, Jerubbaal, which means destroyer of Baal. See, that's his true identity. God is calling him by his new name, cycle breaker. That cycle that was opened up for 7 years when they went and worshipped Baal. They worshipped the idols. They worshipped the enemy. So Gideon goes there and he breaks that cycle. When he breaks that cycle, he got up and early in the morning, he went as far as the spring of Herod. And way in the distance, the armies of the Midian, that's the enemy, they were camped north of the valley near the hill of Moreh. Now that was a moment of humility for Gideon. A teachable and a humble moment. And the lessons comes from the meaning of those two names. Herod means fear. Fear. So Gideon and his 32,000 men, they make camp in this place called fear. How many of you would actually park right there if you knew this place was called fear? Welcome to Fear Church. Probably all of you would have left right now. I mean, seriously. I mean, that's the place that they chose to actually set camp at. A place called fear. And the enemy on the other side, they were on the other side of a hill called Moreh. You know what Moreh means? Teacher. Isn't that crazy? When you read about this, you're like, you know, you think it's just a normal place. It's Kodiak. It's, I don't know, Anchorage or whatever it might be. All these names. They're not just names. They were meaningful in the Bible. And there's a reason why we find those words there. Herod's means fear. Moreh means teacher. And that's where the enemy is. Is there a lesson that we can, is there a lesson that we can learn from being at a place called fear, but in the distance, you're looking at a place called teacher? See, when you let God set the stage, he will use even your weaknesses, fear, doubt, unbelief, to bring you to the place where you can be teachable. He will bring you to the place where even your fear, your doubts, your unbelief can play a role in bringing your breakthrough. Can bring in that breakthrough that you need in your life. God does not waste anything, including your weaknesses. If doubt is a weakness that you have, unbelief is a weakness that you have. Fear is a weakness that you have. Guess what? God can use all of that to teach you something in life. Because God knew exactly where the state of mind, the state of the emotional state of where Gideon was. That's why God directed his steps right there in that place called fear. You probably belong there for now, Gideon, but I'm going to use that place of fear to teach you something. See, maybe the place where you are today is not ideal. You hate it. You hate Kodiak. It rains a lot. I wish I was somewhere else. I wish Hawaii was great. I mean, that sounds better. Why was I called here? Why was I stationed here? I could have been stationed somewhere else. I would have been a better fit somewhere else. But God brought you here. And here you are for such a time as this. Don't wait until you get to that next season, that next assignment, that next thing. Whatever God is trying to teach you now, if you don't learn it now, guess what? You're going to learn it again later on. The same thing, maybe a different place. Geographically, it might be different, but the same lessons needs to be learned. How many of you want to graduate when you move on to the next place, next season in your life? You've learned some lesson. Like, you know what? I've learned some stuff in this season. Guess what? I'm not gonna take anything that I don't need to that next season. I'm leaving everything behind. That is part of breaking the cycle, is not to carry junk into the next place, the next season, the next part of life, what God wants to do. Otherwise, you learn the lessons again and again and again until you pass. See, there's a test. I don't know if you know this, right? There's a test. It's called life. God wants you to pass. God wants you to overcome. God wants you to see the breakthrough. And there's only way you can do it is to stay in the moment and to trust Him, to be teachable and to be humble. See, the point God is making here in this scene, Gideon, will you trust me? Will you trust me when the odds are against you? See, the same message is for us. Would you trust God when you see that the whole thing is falling apart around you? Would you still put your trust in God? Or would you look at your circumstances and, you know what? Everything is breaking. I think I don't belong here. And that's an invitation for the enemy. See, God is getting us to this moment where we can be teachable so that we can trust Him more. Teachable moments are moments where we put our resolve to the test. And this is the place where God took Gideon. And in verse 2, the Lord said to Gideon, what did He say? You have too many soldiers with you. Isn't that crazy? He's already outnumbered 4-1. And God says, you know what? You got too many. You got too many with you. You don't need that many soldiers. And if I let you fight the Midianite, the Israelites will boast to me that they themselves, by their own strength, did it. Isn't that crazy? See, it's a humility. God is saying, you know what? I don't want any one of you to take credit for what I will do. For that reason, you have too many people, too many soldiers. You don't need as many as that. Now, that doesn't make sense at all, right? In the natural mindset, that doesn't make sense. But that was a teachable moment for Gideon. Humility. See, when God wants to set, when you allow God to set the stage in your life, there would be many teachable moments. And humility would certainly be one of them. God will always bring you to that place where you would humble yourself before Him. See, this is what God was trying to do in this nation of Israel. And this is what God is trying to do for the church, for all of us, is to bring us to a place where we would humble ourselves before Him. Where we would say, we can't do it on our own, Lord. We need You. See, today, us, even as a nation, America, we need God. We need God, period. See, God is bringing all of us to a place where we recognize that we need Him. It's humbling to get to that place where you say, I need you, Lord. If you don't go in there with me, empowering me, giving me the wisdom that I need, I will crash and burn. I need you. That needs to be our prayer every single day. Lord, I need you. I need you to do this. I can't do it on my own. I need you. Could that be your prayer every single day? Every moment you wake up, Lord, I need you. I need you. My family needs you. My children need you. We need you. That's the most powerful prayer that I know. I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you now. 1 Peter 5:6. So humble yourselves. So humble yourself under God's mighty power. And at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. See, a lot of us, when we say this as a drive-by prayer, Lord, I need you. I need you right now. Okay? I want you to lift me up right now. I want you to fix this problem right now. See, a lot of times God is saying, you know, I want you to humble yourself first. And I want you to wait on me. Wait on me. I want you to wait on the answer. Don't try to set the stage yourself. Step to the side. At the right time, at the right time, I will lift you up in honor. See, a lot of times we're fighting battles and we are like, I want my name to be cleared now. And God is saying, you know what? At the right time, I will lift you up in honor. At the right time, I will bring about the breakthrough that you seek. Trust me. Trust me. See, when we humble ourselves before God, we create those teachable moments where our trust is developed, because we're trusting God more now. I'm in this teachable moment, but I've gotten to the place where my trust is growing with God. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting in His power, in His ability. And throughout this moment that we think we are waiting, guess what is being developed? Character. God is developing us while we're waiting. God is molding us and shaping us into the right vessel of honor that He's created you and I to be. See, during this time of waiting, God dwindled down His army from 32,000 to 300. Isn't that crazy when you think about it? You guys can read the story. For the sake of time, I'm cutting to the end. Dwindling down a 32,000 army to 300. The odds have changed from 4 to 1 to 450 to 1. Certain death, I mean, they're going to be totally destroyed. In the natural. But God is saying, you know, I want you to trust me. I don't want you to trust in your own understanding, because it's way over your head. And this is the way it is for us. Lord, this is way over my head. I don't get it. I don't pretend to get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. But I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do this by faith and not by sight. I'm not going to trust my own understanding. In the Word of God, it says, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not depend on what? Your own understanding. Don't depend on this own understanding, because you won't get it. You need to bypass. your own understanding. That's what trust is. Trust is bypassing your understanding. Trust. Trust is an important thing. And we had this training at Cana last week. And the key, the buzzword, Kyle, was trust. How do we develop trust in a corporation? How do we develop trust in God? How do we develop trust in a relationship? It's all about trust. Our walk with God depends on trusting Him. Not our own understanding, but trust has got so much value in the ability to trust God, even when it doesn't make sense. And talking about something that doesn't make sense, in the midst of where they were, God instructed Gideon to walk by the enemy's camp. Did not make any sense. So he kind of snuck right behind where the enemy was. And he overheard two guys talking. And one guy was talking about the dream that he had. And in this dream, he's saying, you know what? I saw a big loaf of bread rolling down. Now, how many of you would say this makes sense? I mean, I dream about bread before, but not in the sense that it's rolling down. I'm dreaming about bread that I'm eating. But this loaf of bread was rolling down, and the interpretation of this dream was like, Gideon is winning. This battle, we're done. This is the enemy talking. The enemy saying, you know, we're done. We toast. Oh, bread, we toast. I didn't really mean it that way. We toast. Gideon is winning this battle. So Gideon is hearing this. Does not make any sense to him, but he's saying, you know what? I believe we're going to win. I believe we're going to win this battle. It doesn't make sense to me, but I believe we're going to win. Do you know what he does? And that's the next point. He worshipped. Just knowing does not make any sense to him that a loaf of bread rolling down the hill brings him the victory. He's like, you know what? God says we're going to win. I guess we're going to win. So he drops down to his knees and he worshipped. When you spend time with God in worship, it's a great opportunity to break the cycle. That's where you kind of crank up your music, your worship music, and you're like, you know what? I don't feel like it, but I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring Him glory because He's my God. And when you do this, this is where the breakthrough comes in. This is where your mindset changes. When you recognize, hey, you know what? I'm somebody. A loaf of bread going to roll down the hill and it's going to bring me the victory. Does not make any sense, but I'm trusting God and I'm going to worship Him for it. That's what you do when you're trusting God. And in verse 15, it says, when Gideon heard them telling his dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. This is the first account that we have of this guy ever worshiping God. We know him about some dude who's hiding in a hole, never worshiped God. But guess what? When he knew he was going to have a relationship that's going to bring him the victory, he dropped down to his knees and he worshiped God. He said, no, I'm going to just worship Him. He worshiped God and he returned to the camp and he said to his guys, how many have we dwindled down to now? 300. So, hey guys, come on. Guess what? Some dude had a dream on the other side, and guess what? There's a loaf of bread rolling down the hill, and it's going to bring us the victory. And that's the battle plan. And this is, I mean, can you imagine if you had a general? They're like, he's lost it. Dude has gone senile. I mean, it doesn't make sense. A loaf of bread rolling down the hill, bringing us the victory. And he's telling us to arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of the Midian in our hands. They're like, okay, how do we, I mean, this guy is crazy. I mean, you see in his picture, he looked kind of like he's senile. I mean, I don't know who came up with that picture, but that's appropriate. I mean, mean, a dude hiding in a hole for that long probably looks like that. But he's deciding the fate of a nation. And he's sent everybody home. He's only said, I need only 300. And he's telling those 300, arise, for the Lord has delivered the enemy into our hands. How many of you have been in a place like this when you don't, it doesn't make any sense at all? But you know what? I'm trusting God. I don't get it, but I'm going to drop down to my knees and I'm going to worship him and I'm going to tell everybody about it. And everybody's in your family is laughing. Oh, this dude is crazy. But that's what it takes sometimes, is to look a little crazy. To look a little crazy and sometimes to act a little crazy. Because you're serving him. It doesn't make sense to the world, but here you are serving Almighty God. You're honoring him in your business. You're honoring him at home. You're honoring him in the workplace. You're honoring him anywhere you go. Does not make any sense, but here you are. Here you are. And my last point is this. Talking about war. When you break the cycle, you got to use God's weapon. And I got a picture of a Bible open up. That's his weapon. The Bible, the Word of God, represents him. That's who he is. His Word is himself. So if you forget who you are, guess where you're going to find it? In his Word. When you need to worship him, guess where you're going to start? In his Word. And when you need to defeat the enemy, you need a battle plan, like a loaf of bread rolling down the hill. Where are you going to find it? In his Word. Because that's where he lives. Because he is the Word of God. That's him. And even crazier, in verse 20. Now, talking about being crazy, this is next level crazy. You would think that those 30 men would actually go and, I mean, I don't know, weapons of mass destruction or whatever kind of weapons that we have. But no, they left everything behind. Guess what they carried with them? They held the blazing torches in the left hand and horns in the right hands. And they all shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Does that make any sense to anybody? They're going to this battle not with any kind of weapon. In fact, they left everything behind. In their left hand was a torch, a lantern, a tiki torch. You know what I mean? Like they're holding a little tiki. I wish I had brought one. And in the other hand, a trumpet. Horns. You know, they had those, like you want to say. So they had one horn, one torch. And that's all they had. 300 men, 144,000 enemy. And they walked into their camp with that fire and the trumpet. See, the lesson here for all of us is the fire and the trumpet. The fire represents what? Presence of God. The fire of God. The presence of God. And the trumpet is glory. You coming in and making an announcement of the glory of God. His anointing, his power is there. That song that we sang last, Carla didn't know this, but it fits in perfectly. His presence, his power brings the breakthrough. Isn't that appropriate? Its presence and his glory, his power brings the breakthrough. The torch meant the presence of God. The trumpets meant the glory of God. To break the cycle of the enemy in our lives, we need His presence and His glory. Would you please stand? I'm going to wrap this up real quick. I got a little bit excited, a little bit carried away, so it's taking a little bit longer than I really normally would be taking. But I want you to get this. This is the grand finale of this series, Break the Cycle. And I want you to recognize that with God, all things are possible. Possible with Him. You have to trust Him. You got to rely on Him. I don't know what you're going through, but without God, you're not going to make it. It's as simple as that. You need Him. You need Him in your life. You need Him in your work. You need Him in your marriage. You need Him. You need Him. Use His weapon. That's how you break the cycle. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down or to break the cycle. Let's pray. Father, we give You praise. And we give You glory. Thank You, Lord, that today we were taught the Word of God. That today, Lord God, Your Word will go and will energize us. Will remind us of who we are, who we are in You, that our true identity is found in You, not in ourselves, but in You. Lord, as we wrap up this series, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that we will experience breakthroughs in our lives, that the old cycles would be broken, that we're stepping into something new. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all and thank you for being here on this beautiful. Just cut it off on this beautiful Kodiak day. And we'll see you again next week.